Morning, you are listening to Upfront. I am Kat Brooks. We are continuing our coverage of the Vallejo Police Department. And for this segment, we are going to talk about the person that the city of Vallejo has brought in to be a senior advisor to Vallejo City Manager Greg Nyhoff, specifically charged to help improve the VPD culture and to look for a new chief. That person is Howard Jordan, former police chief of the Oakland Police Department. And I have in studio with me to talk about his record, Darwin Bond Graham, an independent journalist covering violence and misconduct by police departments. Good morning, Darwin.
Good morning.
So what years was Howard Jordan engaged in the Oakland Police Department?
He was a career Oakland police officer, came up through the ranks. He led the Internal Affairs Department in the mid-2000s. He was a deputy chief for a while. After Chief Tucker resigned, Jordan was made interim chief in around 2009. The Dellums administration, I believe, then recruited Anthony Batts from Long Beach to come run the department. So Jordan was again, I believe, made a deputy chief. When Batts resigned in about 2011, Jordan was again elevated to the role of interim police chief for the Oakland Police Department. So he was there a long time, and he had a number of different roles in OPD, a career OPD officer.
So when I hear the year 2009, I think of Oscar Grant and, of course, the 3 years of protest that followed his murder, during which time the Oakland Police Department did not exactly handle itself very well. What role did Howard have in any of that?
Being a high-level commander and interim police chief around that time, he was definitely involved in OPD's tactical responses to the Oscar Grant movement, to the protests that were taking over the streets of Oakland and demanding that there be criminal charges filed against Officer Meserly. Jordan was also interim chief when four Oakland police officers were killed by Lavelle Mixon, and Lavelle Mixon was also killed. And Jordan commissioned the report after that incident that was highly critical of himself and the entire Oakland Police Department and how they handled that situation. He also led OPD's homicide investigations around the time of the Black Muslim Bakery killings. And he was himself criticized, but he was also very critical of police officers like Derwin Longmire, who were accused of having botched the investigation into the killing of journalist Chauncey Bailey. So Jordan has been involved in a lot of the Oakland Police Department's intrigues over the years.
So OPD has dramatically reduced the number of people that it murders every year, but back then they were averaging a good amount a year, correct?
Yeah, in the mid-2000s, OPD was leading the Bay Area in terms of the number of people killed each year by the police.
Vallejo and OPD have basically switched places.
There's also, these two departments are tied together in very interesting ways. They're sort of brother departments, if you will. A lot of former Oakland police officers have gone on to work at Vallejo PD. One of Oakland's deputy chiefs, Robert Nicolini, actually was the Vallejo Police Department's chief for a number of years. You currently have a handful of officers from Oakland PD. Matthew Komoda, the McLaughlin brothers, they were former OPD. They now work at Vallejo. There's a number of other police officers over the years who have come straight out of Oakland into Vallejo PD. There's significant overlap between these departments.
Has it been like lateral moves because they got in trouble in OPD and then moved to VPD, or we don't know because we haven't pulled records?
It's been lateral moves. We don't know why they went over, if there was misconduct in Oakland, if it wasn't sort of the SB 1421 type misconduct that they now have to disclose, we won't be able to figure it out.
And Ryan McLaughlin was involved in both the murders of Ronald Foster and Willie McCoy on scene.
I believe so, yeah.
So continuing sort of talking about officer-involved shootings, Chief Jordan was also the chief when Alan Bluford was shot and killed, right? Alan Bluford being the 18-year-old unarmed black man who was shot in the back by Officer Miguel Masso in 2011?
2011, I believe 2012? I'm not sure of the date, but yes, he was chief around that time. And that shooting and several other controversial police shootings in the late 2000s and 2010, 11, 12 had led the Oakland Police Department's independent monitor, Robert Warshaw, and Thomas Frazier, who was the former commissioner of the Baltimore Police, who at the time was the compliance director for OPD. So both of the court federally appointed overseers who were responsible for making sure OPD was reforming itself. They were highly critical of OPD's investigations of officer-involved shootings around this time. They basically, in their reports, said that OPD was just not capable of properly investigating its own officers when they used deadly force. And Jordan, in particular, was criticized for that by the monitor and by the compliance director. Jordan took a lot of heat for those officer-involved shootings.
And for folks who don't remember the Alan Bluford murder, he was waiting for a ride. He and his friends were waiting for a ride after a school dance. An unmarked police car with its lights off rolled up. They were in East Oakland, so they took off running. Officer Miguel Masso shot Alan in the back and then shot himself in the foot, but said that Alan had shot him, which was sort of the narrative.
Yeah, he had believed that Alan Bluford had shot him.
He believed it?
Well, that's what he told investigators, right, who were reviewing the incident. Turned out later that he, in fact, shot himself. To this day, it's a little bit murky as to what happened.
I mean, I fired a gun. You sort of know when it goes off in your own hand.
Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, if you want the police department perspective on it, and I'm going to, you know, go out on a limb here, I think they would say Officer Masso believed that Alan Bluford had a gun and that he needed to use deadly force. And so he shot him and he thought he was in a firefight and he panicked maybe and shot himself in the leg. That would be my reading of what the Oakland Police Department would say about that incident. And that's kind of more or less, you know, what the district attorney investigators said they found.
Sometimes I wish we were a television show and not radio so that listeners could see my face. And the other thing that I want to point out about that is that Miguel Masso was allowed to come back to work and to patrol the streets of Oakland and showed up at some very inappropriate times. And were it not for community sort of really launching a very intensive pushback and like putting up wanted for murder signs and all kinds of stuff, he might likely still be OPD, but he has moved. Employed. Gilroy, I believe, is where he is. Employed. And Alan Bluford's mother actually got a phone call from another woman whose father was elderly father was brutally assaulted by Miguel Masso, which is sort of why I was asking about the lateral moves from OPD to VPD, because that's what law enforcement does a lot of times, right? They're involved in these atrocious crimes and then they just quietly go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that is the case. Sometimes officers feel that they can't work in a city anymore, and so they transfer to some other city. And if they don't have a sustained finding of misconduct, which in this case, Masso was officially cleared by the police department and the DA, then they're free to transfer to another department, and other departments do not see that person as a potentially bad hire at all.
Okay, back to Hojo, as he's called, Howard Jordan. He was also chief during Occupy.
Yes, he was interim chief during Occupy. In October 2011, then city administrator Deanna Santana and interim chief Howard Jordan decided to clear the Occupy Oakland encampment from Frank Ogawa Plaza. And there was essentially a police riot later that night as Occupy Oakland protesters came back to try to retake the encampment. Many people were actually injured that night by the police, but the most famous example was Iraq War veteran Scott Olson. He was shot in the head with a beanbag round by an officer who's never been officially identified by the police department. He sustained brain damage, and as he was laying on the ground, another police officer with a record of shooting and killing three people before, Robert Roche, tossed a flashbang grenade into the group of individuals who were trying to help Olson off the ground and to evacuate him from the area and give him medical attention. This was caught on film. Roche's tossing of this grenade device was sort of very casual, and Roche was later disciplined for this. Howard Jordan actually wanted to terminate and did order that Roche be terminated. Howard Jordan also attempted to discipline 42 other officers for the conduct during Occupy Oakland. Roche's discipline was overturned later by an arbitrator. Roche's back on the job, allowed to work for OPD. So a lot of the discipline that Chief Jordan tried to impose after Occupy just wasn't sustained. It was overturned. And this was something that the court-appointed monitor pointed out that was a failure by the Oakland police chief and the city attorney to hold officers accountable.
How much responsibility does Jordan have to take for the brutality of that night and of other evenings where OPD sort of descended upon what were often peaceful Occupy folks.
Jordan drew a lot of criticism, again, from the Monitor, also from the media, from other city officials. It was seen that the way he led the police department at the time, that it was believed that he and other senior command staff were essentially ignoring this important crowd control policy that the department had signed 6 years prior, after there had been a different police riot at a different protest where a number of people were injured in really grisly, horrible ways. But yeah, it was seen that Chief Jordan and the command staff essentially allowed the police to collectively punish several thousand protesters and just injure many of them.
That protest, I actually had brought my daughter with me, which I very rarely did during Occupy because it just wasn't safe. But that night was, you know, there were no windows broken. We marched around forever. We went back to Oscar Grant Plaza. And law enforcement is supposed to give a series of warnings before they discharge tear gas, flashbangs, etc. My memory and the memory of other folks that night was that they just said it was an unlawful assembly, and the next thing we know, there was tear gas and beanbags flying.
You're correct. And again, the court-appointed monitor compliance director wrote in their report about OPD's response to Occupy Oakland that there wasn't sufficient notice given that the police were determining it to be an unlawful assembly, that the people there weren't really provided an opportunity to safely leave the area before some of the officers started opening up on them with tear gas, with these flashbang grenades, with all sorts of quote-unquote less lethal types of weapons. And that was a major fault of the police department at the time. And again, yes, Howard Jordan was the interim chief.
My daughter, for almost a year, every time I would go out of the house that she thought was to a protest, would break down hysterically crying because she was so traumatized from what happened that night, and herself ended up with tear gas in her eyes. That wasn't the only Occupy Oakland scandal, though, with Howard Jordan. Apparently, he had a spam filter for all Occupy Oakland-related emails?
Yes, apparently he had set up a spam filter in his email that had any email with Occupy Oakland, and there were several other terms in there like police brutality. Anytime those terms appeared in the subject line of an email, it would be sent to a spam folder. He was reprimanded for this by Judge Thelton Henderson and, again, the Monitor, because according to reporting at the time by several newspapers, he missed some communications from the Monitor because the Monitor had written Occupy Oakland in the subject line. He was not able to see what the Monitor wanted him to know or understand or respond to about the protest.
Whoops. And then he abruptly resigned. Do we have theories about why?
To say abruptly is not really even capturing how abrupt it was. There was literally, it had been a kind of violent week in Oakland. There had been some shootings and there was high-profile robbery. And so there was a call for the police to do more. And so there was a press conference actually scheduled for 10:30 in the morning, I believe. And Chief Jordan and the city administrator and other officials were supposed to go to this press conference and explain to the public how they were going to improve public safety in Oakland. Just before this press conference was supposed to occur, Chief Jordan sent an email to the city administrator and the mayor saying, "I am effectively immediately resigning for medical reasons." And to this day, we're not really clear as to what those medical reasons were. Chief Jordan did have three doctors give their opinions. One of the doctors was independent and appointed by the city. And all three doctors did find that Jordan had a medical disability that did qualify him to retire for medical reasons.
But he's not retired. He is now consulting and, as we stated at the beginning of this segment, has been hired. Not for very much, though. I was actually surprised. His contract is only $80,000, which is not great for police consultants. Bill Breton brings more than that in.
True, but Jordan has several of these consulting jobs. Oh. In 2015, he was part of the investigative team that investigated the Santa Clara Sheriff's Department for racist text messages that were circulated amongst some of the jail guards. In 2015, he was a consultant and instructor at Merritt College for the justice program that they run up there, which is has long attempted to be a source of local recruits for the Oakland Police Department. Part of a team that is reviewing the Madison, Wisconsin Police Department after controversial fatal police shooting of an individual named Tony Robinson there since 2016. And he's also working for the Rohnert Park Police Department. He's sort of instructing them on, you know, best practices and things like that in the wake of their scandal, which involved potentially illegal and improper seizures of drugs up in Sonoma County by some Rohnert Park police officers.
And Darwin, I always try to respect your boundaries as a journalist, so this next question might irritate you. But given his track record and what we know about him, is this the man that police departments should be hiring to help them be better police departments?
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. Obviously, Howard Jordan has been at the center of, at times, big controversies in the Oakland Police Department. I think you can point to ways in which he was very much at fault. And I think you can point to some ways in which he did appear to honestly attempt to hold some people accountable, to try to change things. I don't know his full record inside out. And I think, I would like to hear what lessons he's drawn from his years at OPD. Maybe he feels that because he's been through the ringer so many times and he's seen so many scandals and he's worked for such a dysfunctional police department that he knows firsthand all of the problems that, you know, a major dysfunctional police department has, and maybe some ways of fixing them.
Maybe. I hadn't thought about that. He probably talked to you before he talked to me, though. I don't know that Hojo has fond memories of me.
Yeah, I mean, I've traded emails, a couple emails with him before, but I've never been able to interview him. And I'd be interested in hearing about his experiences in the Oakland Police Department for sure. Because what we didn't say about his abrupt resignation was that it was reported afterward by a lot of Bay Area newspapers that he was, you know, poised to be forced out, like the compliance director of the Oakland Police Department was going to use his power to essentially fire Jordan. And so Jordan decided, you know, just resign instead of that. Afterward, people close to Jordan have said, that's not really what happened. It's more that he felt all of his authority had been stripped away from him, that he wasn't really the police chief anymore. What's the point of having full responsibility and accountability, but not, you know, and being blamed for everything, but not really having the power to change it anymore? So that's essentially, people close to him say that's why he left OPD. Other people say, no, it's because he was blamed for Occupy Oakland, for these controversial officer-involved shootings, for not taking the negotiated settlement agreement reform seriously. So he decided to just bail by taking a medical retirement.
This will probably be my last question, and it's digressing just a little bit. But if he was forced out or his powers stripped of him, was that, or do you think that had anything to do with Mayor Gene Kwan desperately needing to remove attention from herself? She took major heat. She was on a plane headed to D.C. Some people say that that's what ended her political career. Maybe was she, you know, I don't want to say overcorrecting because there needed to be massive correcting done, but sort of pushing energy his way as opposed to sort of holding the bag, which a lot of, you know, left folks, especially because, you know, looked at her as one of them, held her really highly responsible.
Yeah, you know, I have interviewed Mayor Kwan, former Mayor Kwan, multiple times over the years, and my impression is that she genuinely didn't know what was going to happen with the Occupy Oakland raid, and that it really did come down to City Administrator Deanna Santana deciding that the protesters needed to go, and the police department and its leadership, including Howard Jordan, were perfectly happy to make that happen. So former Mayor Kwan may have been caught by surprise by a lot of that, and she found herself unable to respond in a way that could regain confidence.
Darwin Bonham-Graham, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Darwin Bonham-Graham, an independent journalist covering violence and misconduct by police departments, about the appointment of Howard Jordan as a consultant to the Vallejo Police Department.